Good evening, and welcome to Good Evening, the Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Shea Mutella, and joining me, as always, is my ever-constant co-hosts, Tom Caldwell and Chris Haig. Chris, how are you doing today? You're looking a little distraught, looking a little bit crazy there, got some crazy hair, pulling your shirt up over your head. How about a sandwich? Would that make you feel better?
I mean, why not? I mean, if there's any instance where I've accidentally murdered someone in a barn, then yeah, a sandwich would probably help, yeah.
Good, yes. Probably cucumber sandwich.
Very much, very British.
Tom, how are you doing today? Sit down, have a drink. I'm sorry, this is going to be the worst decision of your life coming to join us today because I'm going to frame you.
Oh, are you? Or do you?
Or do you?
We'll find out in the very end. We'll find out in the epilogue.
The epilogue. That's what I love about these Alfred Hitchcock Presents episodes, is that if you take the prologue and the epilogue away and just watch like the 20-minute story, it's like they get away with it, right? Mm. Whatever it is they've done, they've gotten away with it. And then it's just Alfred Hitchcock coming in and said, oh, by the way, so-and-so happened and they went to jail, or so-and-so happened and they got caught, et cetera, yeah. Et cetera. So, but that's kind of what I like about these episodes. So today we're talking about the episode Wet Saturday, which was directed by Alfred Hitchcock. It was originally broadcast on the 30th of September, 1956, as a part of the second season of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and it was later filmed for Roald Dahl's UK TV series Tales of the Unexpected. Now, a summary of the episode. Mr. Princey's daughter has just killed her schoolmaster with a croquet mallet. He tries to find a way to protect his family's name and prevent his daughter from prosecution. He locates a man whom he thinks will be a perfect scapegoat, Smollett. Princey takes Smollett to the schoolmaster's body and draws a gun on him. He gives him two choices: go along with Princey's scheme that makes it look like Smollett committed the murder, or be shot on the spot. Smollett chooses the former. Princey makes it look like Smollett committed the crime. He then tells him to keep his mouth shut. Smollett leaves and Princey calls the police. He reports that a murder has just taken place. Dun dun dun. Anyways,
murder.
I love it because we got John Williams again.
Yeah.
John Williams is great. I love seeing him in Alfred Hitchcock. He's in so many great Alfred Hitchcock Presents episodes. Mm. We just talked about him in the last one. Hey, Back Home for Christmas or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to see him again. So he must be a Hitchcock favorite. You know, we had him in Dial M for Murder. This was the first time I'd seen this episode because as of the recording of this, Annie and Catherine haven't covered this one yet on their Good Evening and Alfred Hitchcock Presents podcast. So this was a first time watch for me. Had either of you guys seen this before?
Not for me. Like, I'm pretty much sure all these TV shows we're doing, these are first time watches for me.
Okay, yeah.
I'm going to say, yeah, these are pretty much all first times for me because it's weird. We don't really get reruns of this, but you've mentioned, Tales of the Unexpected, and that gets rerun all the time in the UK. So I don't know what it is about it, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, that just doesn't get the rerun status over here.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys recognize the dad in this from Rope?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was the...
You're right, though.
Yeah, he was the dad of the guy who got killed in Rope as well, the one who was always worried and running off to talk to his wife and
oh, my
whatnot.
God, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He's a very different character here, right?
Yeah.
But he's a real... In this one, he's a jerk. Like, he's just rude.
I mean,
right?
It's ironic, really, because he's gone from victim in assault to Rope to villain in this, and then you've got John Williams, who in Home for Christmas was the villain, and now he's gone to sort of the Hitchcock archetype of the wronged, innocently accused man. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Quite the turnaround for those characters.
Yeah.
So, we don't go through the actors and whatnot here, but the daughter in this episode, I was really impressed with. you know, her acting and whatnot. I thought she did a really good job, and she did a lot of like hand motions, and she was playing with her hair and giving a really good performance of being distraught. And there was actually a scene when they came back in from the garage where she's just like sitting there, and she's got like her sweater like up over her head, and she's just sitting there on the couch like this. I don't know. There's just some really neat acting choices, and I don't know if that's what she brought. I'm guessing it's what she brought because it seems very different. We don't really see that type of performance in Hitchcock before. This seemed kind of like a unique performance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of it's very much what you would call like a character-driven performance, in that she's entirely inhabiting this mentally disturbed girl who's committed this crime. Yeah, I've never seen the actress in anything before, but she's so good. The only part which threw me off, and I know it was a deliberate choice, is when and it's in like the first kind of 10 minutes, the father's basically berating the daughter, saying, "No, sit down, tell us what happened, what exactly, you know, went on," and all that sort of thing. And she does part of it directly to camera. And it threw me off, really, for the first time, because she's staring right down the lens at you, going, well, and then this, and this happened, that. And she's so unnerving and quite unblinking for a lot of it that it didn't throw me off. But then on reflection, I'm like, oh, no, that's actually such a cool choice, because it adds to the sort of the unhingedness of this of this girl. I thought it was great.
Her initial... She's the one that killed the schoolmaster, right?
Yeah.
And but as the dad says, she was concerned that the schoolmaster had intentions for her, and the dad was kind of like, yeah, like that would ever happen. Like, this dad was a jerk. But those two kids are a little odd, but he really grinds into the sun about his whole... So when you were in medical school, if you did get far enough, like, he's so condescending and rude. And the son that plays the... I guess he's a dropout medical student type. He's very colorful. Like, he's very... he's got a lot of sort of character to his personality. But he really plays the incompetent... buffoon of a son. So for like the dad is such a horribly strong character that's just running everything. The two children are somewhat, I guess, like I said, sort of buffoons or incompetent. And the mother is just, she's just like doing whatever the husband says. So it's a very very odd collection in that one family.
Yeah, it's such a weird dynamic, like you said. Yeah, because you've got the domineering dad, you've got the weak-willed mother, and then you've got the sort of the two oddball children in their own ways. So yeah, it's something I don't think we've really ever seen in a Hitchcock short before, but I thought it was completely fascinating, to be honest.
The son is almost a comical character, right? Like almost like a clown character.
Yeah, I thought the dad gave a really great performance. You're right, he is a very unlikable character, but that makes him likable. I know that sounds weird, but it was fun to watch this really unlikable character. You know, and as far as how it was written, I mean, the story of it, the idea that he had and how quickly he came up with an idea to frame this other guy for the murder, like, it was a very smart way to frame him. And if they just left it as, hey, okay, we've framed you, and as long as you don't talk about it, nobody will ever find out. If they had just left it at that, then it probably would have been good. I think they probably would have gotten away with it. What do you guys think?
But, like, as the episode ends, we believe that the dad got away with it. But then as Alfred explains in the epilogue, is it Cedric? Or, no, Captain Smollett, when he comes back into the room, turns, you know, basically turns the tables, and Captain Smollett is vindicated of the murder, and it all turns back onto the Princes.
Yeah, the daughter basically confessed.
From what Hitchcock,
The daughter basically confessed once the cops put the pressure on her. But I loved Alfred Hitchcock's end, too. He's like, she basically was able to prove it because she did the same thing to her dad. It's like... So he's dead, right? The dad's dead. She killed him, too, with a mallet. But I got to ask, so watching these shows and watching something directed by Hitchcock and getting all these British actors on the show just makes me assume that this was filmed in Britain. But, I mean, I'm guessing this show would have been produced in Hollywood, right? I don't know where the show would have been produced, but I'm like, I'm thinking about this house and I'm like, who has a sewer like that? Like, what's going to happen? You've thrown this body in this sewer. And where's it going to go? Is it just going to rot in your garage? Because your garage is going to start stinking pretty quick. Because where I am in Saskatchewan, like, we don't have drainage things like that anywhere near our houses.
It could theoretically be... Sorry, Chris. It could actually be like a... if it's sort of an estate, like out in the country,
yeah.
It could be some kind of ravine that opens into a, like an underground river and things just literally get washed away somewhere. Mm-hmm. But again, you're right. I'm guessing that thing isn't moving more than 50 feet down into the sewer, that corpse.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like, if you think about kind of the large-scale irrigation that some of these estates have, a lot of them do have just kind of these under... like waterways that either will move slowly or they'll move much quicker. I mean, I think, you know, they've put the body in there and the dad has already been intending, okay, we're going to frame this so actually hiding the body isn't going to be that much of a problem. Because they'll need to find it and they'll say, oh, well, he killed him with a mallet and all that sort of thing. So, the way that I relate to this, so there's a British soap called Coronation Street. You may or may not have heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. You've heard it? Great. Long running. My mum loves it. If there are any Corrie fans... Oh, no, she's like a diehard Corrie fan. It's been running for like 50, 60 years. Classic soap. And one of the plot points about 5 years ago was this local villain attacked a family in the house and the family killed him. And rather than getting the police involved, because it'd have to explain a bunch of other little illegal things they'd done, they hid the body under, they were redoing the kitchen, so it's under like stone slabs buried deep beneath the kitchen. And you think, oh, okay, it's just going to rot there. But the problem is, it starts to stink. Mm-hmm. It starts to and affect other houses, and eventually the body is discovered in this sort of pit. So yeah, it's what I think of, because eventually it's going to be like the Telltale Heart, and they're just going to start smelling stuff coming up from the floorboards or from the sewer, and, you know, just this rotting corpse. I mean, I'm sure there'd been a simpler way of kind of explaining the murder, or even saying it was self-defense, but I'm guessing it wasn't just a one whack and dead. I'm presuming she pretty much kind of beat this guy severely to death.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Oof. One thing I will say about the episode that I really enjoyed, and I know this might purely be me, I loved how it sounded, if that makes any sense. So, like, the actual sound design on the episode, because, like I said, it's Wet Saturday, it's raining throughout the episode, and for someone who, you know, I quite like all the quieter episodes where it's, like, the soft speaking and kind of ASMR, all that kind of stuff, apart from Millie, every kind of 20 seconds shrieking about something or the dad yelling or something, it was it's very easy to listen to. It's got that kind of Bob Ross feel, and the, you know, the kind of constant effect of the rain made it actually added to how insular of an episode it was, because it pulls into stuff like, oh, did anyone see you entering the barn? The dad asks the daughter, and she says, well, no, because it just started to rain, I think. And everyone had run inside. So it adds a bit of atmosphere to the episode that I think was really atmospheric. And it feels very much like a sort of bottle episode. Because some of these episodes are, you know, there's much more outdoors. They're much higher concept. Whereas this is very much five people playing off against each other, which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I first watched it, I kind of felt like I missed a chapter. Like, it moves very quickly because of the television format. Mm-hmm. So in the first minute of the episode, I kind of stopped my playback, and it's kind of like, did I skip a section?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're playing catch up on the story.
It kind of drops you right into the story, and they're you really have to pay attention to catch up to what's happening. Mm-hmm. But it is, everything gets explained fairly quickly. It's just an odd opening, I found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I had to listen to one of the scenes again here. The one that I had to listen to again was when she was describing the murder and whatnot, because I was just trying to understand the motivation. And it's like, so this teacher, I guess, said he fell in love with her, but then he was going to marry somebody else, and so she killed him. And then this cop comes in and says, basically, he was going to marry his daughter, I guess, or something like that. And then I didn't understand his motivation for being upset at him, but he had a motive, and that's why they were able to frame him, too. So I don't know. I really enjoyed this episode. I thought this episode was fantastic. It started off slow, and I'm just like, this isn't that good. But then just watching the daughter's performance really drew me in. And then when the way that they decided to frame Smollett when he came in, I'm like, this is really awesome. And at the end, the twist when they decided to call the cops, I'm like, oh, man, that daughter is going to cave 10 seconds with a cop, and she's going to be puking her story out. Like, this is a bad decision. But anyways, I don't know. I really love this episode. I thought it was awesome. What'd you guys think of it overall? Would you want to give it a rating?
I would. I liked it. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I'd probably just give it like a 4 out of 5 fingerprint covered croquet mallets.
Chris?
This is one where I could easily, you know, stick it on and rewatch it and get new stuff out of it. So for me, it's 5 out of 5 sandwiches that if you could just stop eating Millicent while we are dealing with the problem, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. Excellent.
I'm sorry. That's not much of a sandwich.
Yeah, I love this one too. I'm going to give this a 5. This is definitely top tier Alfred Hitchcock Presents, I think. I'm going to give this, I guess 5... untimely entrances into somebody's house. So that's what I'll give it as a rating. So
right on.
Excellent. Well, next episode we're going to have for you is The Wrong Man, the Hitchcock film. But our next episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents is called Mr. Blanchard's Secret. So I hope you'll definitely tune in for that after we cover The Wrong Man. And that's all we got for you this time. Until next time. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.